الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, provider, protector, and curer of one and all. Wa usalli wa usallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'ina wa ba'd. Complete blessings and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions, all those who have followed him, those who are following him, may Allah make us truly from amongst them. And those who shall follow him up to the day of Qiyamah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not prohibit our offspring from being from amongst them, inshaAllah. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners. Firstly, it is an honor for me to be here. It is more for my spiritual upliftment than yours. My presence here during this month of Ramadan has been really a moving period for myself. Inshallah, spiritually, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant myself strength and yourselves as well. Many times people introduce us and they go beyond the limits. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly from amongst those who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the footsteps of our ulama, the elders who have taught us this goodness, and it is only through those who have taught us that the goodness has come to us. We are taught as Muslimin to respect our asatidah, anyone who has taught you any goodness. It is our duty to respect them, to honor them, to fulfill their rights, and to realize the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used them for upon us. So we would be incorrect if we did not make dua for all the scholars of this deen, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive those who have passed away, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect those ulama of this deen who are present at this time. For indeed we are moving through some trying times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us unity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us all towards the straight path and keep us on it. As I have said, every single person has been given certain gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the gifts we all have right now is that we are in the blessed month of Ramadan. Very important month. We know it is the highest month or the most blessed month from the months of the Islamic calendar. What have we been taught about this month? Yes, we fast, alhamdulillah. Yes, we also engage in Salatul Taraweeh in the evenings, alhamdulillah. Yes, we try to increase the recitation of the Quran. We try to attend the durus of the ulama. We try to attend the lessons. We try to learn a thing or two of the deen. But there are other things that we also need to become conscious of during this month of Ramadan. In the last 10 days, there is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam known as the sunnah of i'tikaf. Some of the ulama have taken it as far as wujub. They have said it is wajib ala al-kifaya, which means in the community there must be some people who have sat in i'tikaf in the masjid. And they will be sitting on behalf of the entire community. Some of the ulama have actually gone as far as that. So it is our duty that we spend some time with those who are sitting in i'tikaf. And it is our duty that we ourselves, every time we come into the masjid, we make a little intention that, Ya Allah, I intend to be in the condition of i'tikaf for as long as I'm in the masjid. Which means I will dedicate all my energies and efforts solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will not engage in anything worldly whilst I'm in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward we get by making that intention and fulfilling it is very, very great. And it's important that we realize it. When we enter the masjid, sometimes we sit at the back or we sit and chat with people about the dunya and business and this and that. We are reducing the reward because the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a meeting place to discuss our business transactions. Nor is it a meeting place to discuss where we are going to have the next meal and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us steadfast. Rather, It is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah, he told one of his companions that this is the house of Allah. In it, you should be engaged in salah, you should be reciting the Quran, you should be engaged in the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those things which will positively assist you towards becoming closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we should engage in when it comes to the masjid. Hence we are seated here today trying to improve ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. When a person comes into the masjid, whether they are sitting in the complete i'tikaf that is known as the i'tikaf of Ramadan, or whether they are sitting in a nafila i'tikaf for as long as they have come into that masjid, what should we be thinking about? I want to mention just parts of these things. And we have learnt this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, and we have watched the ulama, and we have seen them also adopt the same method and manner. And it's important that we too look at that, and every single one of us benefits from it. The first thing is to check our hearts. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that all actions are judged by their underlying intentions. So a good action can be made bad by a bad intention. And an action that might appear not to be so grand might really become that which is very, very good depending on its intention. Let me give you a little example. If a man, and I don't want you to go into this, but it's just an example. If a man walks into a bar, when we look at him, we think that this man is a drunkard, he's probably going to drink. But if his intention in there is to go in and to remove his son who might be there, then is he committing a sin or is he engaged in an act of worship? He's engaged in an act of worship, but the onlooker might not be able to pick it up because it's the intention that counts. Now please, let us not go to the bars and use that as an excuse, because really we would be doing a grave injustice to ourselves and to everyone else. We are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, اتقي مواضع الشبهات. We must stay away from those places which are doubtful. Someone sees you there, they're going to doubt. Rather stay away from it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us. May Allah protect our children as well. But that was an example I had to cite, because sometimes when you say an action that appears to be bad might be good, people look at you with a questioning eye, and then, you know, to complete or to put an end to that confusion, it's important to give a small example. So look at the heart is the first thing. What is in the heart? The heart has feelings. Those feelings need to be rectified. We spoke about the intentions. When you're doing something, the intention must be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention must be to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention must be to fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The intention must be to prepare for the akhirah. The day I am going to die, I am really worried about it. I am supposed to be worried about it. So, the feelings that we have in our hearts, they must then be rectified. How can a feeling be rectified? What is a wrong feeling? Jealousy is something that springs from the heart. Human beings become jealous of others sometimes. Now, it is our duty as Muslimin to control that feeling, control it, to suppress it and to put an end to it. Why must we be jealous? If we take a look at why people who are jealous, normally the reasons are connected to the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the major reasons of jealousy in the Quran. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. The address was to some others, but the lesson is for all of us. Are they jealous of the virtue that Allah has given others? Are they jealous of the virtue that Allah has given others? From this verse, the Mufassirin have spoken about the issue of jealousy. It is normally connected to a virtue that some have over others. So someone has more of something. When others look at it who are weak, they become jealous. And that jealousy then destroys them. And I will mention how jealousy destroys a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the three major issues that people become jealous of.
فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the family of Ibrahim were granted all the issues that people can become jealous of. What are those issues? The first thing mentioned is al-kitab, knowledge. Knowledge of the book, knowledge of this deen. When a person has a lot of knowledge, you find sometimes shaitan seizes the opportunity of that to creep into the hearts of others and make them become jealous of that particular person. And this is a point of destruction for everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It is important when we see someone whom Allah has granted a little bit of knowledge more than us, we must make dua for them, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us also. We must also put an effort, inshallah, to learn this deen. We are all students of knowledge. We are all students. We are all so low when it comes to the knowledge that is available that we are insignificant. To be honest with you, anyone who feels that they now have arrived at a point of knowledge, what they have is not knowledge, it's something else. Why do we say that? Al-ilmu bahrun la sahila lahu. Knowledge is an ocean that has no coast. The minute you think you have knowledge, that means you feel you've arrived at a coast. So what you have is not knowledge, because with knowledge you will swim forever. You will continue going deeper and deeper. Everyone should feel that there is room for improvement. I need to learn more and more. And when we see someone else, we must make dua for them, rather than becoming jealous of them. That is the first point, al-kitaba. The second issue is al-hikmah. A person who has a lot of wisdom, a lot of tact, a certain method of getting to the message across. Tact and wisdom and hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of that too. Sometimes people can become jealous of the way a person does what he or she does. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So it's important that we too develop the hikmah and the wisdom that we have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us to be wise. When you want to achieve something, it is the sunnah to first think about how you want to achieve what you want to achieve. Choose the best words and find the best opportunity. And then say what you would like to say. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us, inshallah, and may He grant us a little bit of the hikmah that was granted to Luqman alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the chosen ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so wise that he spread this deen sometimes through silence. I give you one example of his life. There was once, in fact, two examples I can give you, because it's the month of Ramadan, it's important that our hearts soften up also towards the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was in Makkatul Mukarramah, he used to pass a certain gully, a certain little alley. And every time he passed it, there was a lady, an old lady, who used to throw defecation on him or impurities on him. And it used to be thrown on him. He was Nabiyur Rahmah. He was the Nabi of mercy, the highest of all creation. Now, if it was us and someone happened to, on a rainy season, go over a certain puddle with their motor vehicle and we were walking on the side and a few splashes of mud happened to splash on our white clothes, one wonders which F's and which B's would come out of our mouths. May Allah protect us. Really, it happens. We are weak. We are supposed to be followers of that example, but this is how low we have become. And a lot of us are guilty of our hearts not being controlled at that moment. That was a test from Allah. That was planned and calculated a long time ago. It was in your taqdeer that this was going to happen only as a test to see how you reacted to it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never uttered the word. Rather, he would take off that impurity, cleanse his clothing and carry on. Imagine every time he passed, that would happen. One day, it did not happen. One day he passed and that stuff which was thrown on him did not come. He was now interested in knowing why. He was interested in knowing why. He hadn't uttered one word. So he happened to go back to knock at the position where this dirt used to come from, to knock on the door and find out what went wrong here. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. As he was asked, who is that? He says, I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was allowed to enter. What do you want here? Old lady was there. The old lady who was in charge of this throwing, and she did it intentionally. My dear mother, every day when I pass here, every time I pass here, there is a gift that comes in my direction. Today it didn't come, so I thought, let me inquire about your health. Maybe there is something wrong with your health. You might not be well. There might be something wrong. What is it? Is there anything I could do for you? إني أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أنك عبده ورسوله. I bear witness that there is none besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worthy to be worshipped, and I bear witness that you are indeed a prophet of Allah. Did he utter one word? Did he say anything? He treated it in a manner that only a Nabi can treat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at how beautiful that was. Another example. Once there was a woman who needed a little bit of assistance. She was traveling from point A to point B. I'm making the story very simple. And she had a little bit of belongings. In one narration it is said some firewood. She was carrying it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to her and said, do you need some assistance? Can I help you? And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine, he was beyond the age of 40. He got nubuwa at 40. So he was beyond the age of 40, and what had happened is, he was helping this old lady. As he's helping the old lady and walking with her from point A to her home, point B, she began to say, you know, you are a very good man. Nowadays people don't help just like that. And a person of your age assisting, being of help, being of assistance, it is amazing. Allahu Akbar. How you are helping. Please, I want to advise you. I want to give you good advice. What is the good advice? There is a certain man in Makkatul Mukarramah. Be careful of him. He is a magician. He is a sorcerer. He is a liar. He is a rebel. He has turned against all of us. He is a disgrace to all of us. Not knowing that that is the same man carrying her belongings. If you go close to him, they say he has a magic and you automatically will follow him. So please don't even go close to him. Don't try to get near. Don't even associate with him, because we don't want to lose good people like you in our community. And she continued the whole way, nagging and mentioning these words for a very long time, until they got to their place. He put the belongings down and she asked one question. I've got one question. Who is your lucky father? Who are you? What is your name? You are an asset to our community and society. Now, what do you want him to say? With us, imagine you've given someone a lift and you are the owner of a certain shop, and they say, you know, that shop man there, he is this and he is that. The minimum you will do is stop your car and say, out. That's the minimum. Some might even take out their guns and put them on the heads of others. Allah protect us all. So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his example was so beautiful. What he did, he said, you know, my dear mother, there was a certain man you were speaking about from the time I picked up your goods up to now. Certain person you spoke about. Now you mentioned A, B and C. I happen to be Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was in tears. The same statement again. In kana kadhalik fa inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluh. If that is the case, I bear witness you are definitely the messenger of Allah. No one can have treated the situation in the way that this man has treated it unless he was a Nabi. Allahu Akbar. So these are just some small examples, very minor examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We all know what happened in Taif. His heart was so pure, pure for the sake of Allah. People who beat him up, he still was so convinced that if goodness came to them, they could be transformed. And he made a dua, Ya Allah. And this dua is very touching, because you know, if you take a careful look at how it happened, the situation around which the dua was made, it is shocking. It will put tears to all of our eyes. Let me put you in the picture. He went to Taif to call the people towards goodness. They began to swear him, to mock at him. They told the little children to throw stones at him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of creation. Imagine, all are watching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously knows exactly what is happening, and this was the plan of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels also came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, we have been instructed that if you want to destroy these people who are harassing you and troubling you, we can crush them between the two mountains. They will be gone. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best feet to ever have tread this earth were that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet his shoes were full of blood. His shoes were full of blood. Because the children were laughing at him. They were sent behind him, even as he was leaving, and they were throwing stones at him, rocks at him. Imagine, someone throwing rocks at me and you? We can't tolerate that. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was told, if you utter one word, destroy them, we will crush them now. But he was sent as a point of rahmah and mercy. He was interested in their hidayah and guidance. He worked with those who were astray in order to try and assist them and help them. So he lifted his hands and he made a certain dua. Allahumma, Allahumma, oh Allah. Now you must remember, the angels were waiting for that instruction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously he hears the call of the caller. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making a call, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to immediately respond to that? That was the best of creation. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma, oh my Rabb, oh my Allah. Inni ashku ilayka, I am complaining to you. I am complaining to you. Now, whatever he was going to complain about, that was going to be a very, very serious issue, because sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being beaten up. The malaika were waiting for him to complain about those people so that they could be crushed and destroyed. But when the complaint came, do you know how it came? Inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati. Oh Allah, I am complaining about my own weakness, ya Allah. I am so weak, ya Allah. Allahu Akbar. Instead of destroying people, to say, ya Allah, I am complaining to you about the people of Ta'if. On that occasion, he made this dua, oh Allah, I am weak. Ya Allah, I am so weak. You have made me a messenger to convey the message. Here the people are beating me up. Ya Allah, if you are pleased with me on this instance, there is nothing else I want besides your pleasure, ya Allah. How many of us can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, whatever condition you have kept me in, whatever sickness I may have, whatever financial condition, whatever condition in terms of my children and so on, whatever you have placed, ya Allah, if you are pleased with me, ya Allah, then I am pleased with everything else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with us. That is the highest level that any worshipper can get to. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah describes some of the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that Allah is pleased with them and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the highest level. You can't get to a higher level than the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his heart he found the, well, obviously his heart was the purest. So that example was ideal. He has taught us, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. Jealousy eats away your good deeds in the same way that the fire eats away at a log. At a log. A dry log. How does fire eat away at a dry log? That example I'll give you just now, or I'll show you what happens. But if we take a look at the third aspect of jealousy that is mentioned in that particular verse that I recited when it is spoken about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we spoke of knowledge and we spoke of hikmah and mulkan aziman, great kingdom, lots of wealth. When someone has money, people become jealous. When someone has a control, a say, a person has been elected or selected an amir, sometimes people become jealous. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why be jealous of these people? Or for what? What is it going to achieve? Let me explain to you one very important aspect. Who is the decider of who must get what? Who decides who must get how much money, how much knowledge, how much hikmah, how much position? Who decides that? Is it me or you, or is it Allah? It's Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. He is the one who is the distributor of everything. So when someone sees the distribution of Allah upon someone else, and it hurts their heart, and they become jealous, they are questioning Allah's decree. Ya Allah, you decided to give this person a million rands. Why? Why did you give this person a million rands? That is what jealousy does, indirectly. Some of the ulama have said that it does it directly. Because we are questioning Allah's distribution. Allah gave this person authority. We are saying, ya Allah, why did you give them authority? Yes, it's another thing if that person is in authority and they are abusing that. Then we can make a dua to Allah. Ya Allah, protect us. Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, use them in the correct path, save them from evil. And ya Allah, if you have not written goodness for them, then take away that authority from them. That dua is not bad. You know, a lot of us, we make a dua. The first thing we do is, ya Allah, destroy the enemies of Islam. First dua, ya Allah, destroy them. Have we tried the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There were certain enemies, I can take two of their names. Umar ibn al-Khattab was a big enemy of Islam before accepting Islam. And Amr ibn Hisham was Abu Jahl. We know Abu Jahl's name. A big destroyer of a lot of the goodness. He was an arch enemy of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands one day and says, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahad al-umarain. He didn't say, ya Allah, destroy them. He says, ya Allah, grant strength to this deen through the acceptance of Islam of one of the two, either Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham, who is Abu Jahl. And no sooner was that dua made than Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went to his sister's house, and the incident occurred there. And he went to go and kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the intention. But as he diverted and went to his sister's house, he read the beautiful verses, the opening verses of Surah Taha. His heart was softened, it crumbled, and he said, take me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was at the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam on that particular occasion. Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib was standing at the door. They saw Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu coming with blood marks, because he'd just beaten up his sister and brother-in-law, and a sword. And he says, Aina Muhammad, where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where is this man? And Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, knowing very well the dua that was made by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Allahumma hadha Umar. Ya Allah, this is Umar. This is Umar. We can see him coming. He is coming. He wants to enter here. إِنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُسْلِمْ وَإِنْ يَكُنْ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ يَكُنْ قَتْلُهُ عَلَيْنَا هَيِّنَا. Ya Allah, if he intends goodness, or if you intend goodness with this man, let him accept this deen. And Ya Allah, if there is anything besides that, then make it easy for us to overcome him and to kill him. He was a powerful, solid man. When he walked, literally the hadith says the shaitan walked in another gully. The shaitan chose another path. Even shaitan was frightened of him after he accepted the deen. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he entered the room. Imagine, if we try to picture this, wallahi it moves us. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seated with the Sahaba, sitting in the halaqa, trying to learn something about deen, and here you have an enemy of Islam walking in with a sword and he has blood. What do they all probably looked at him in what way? And he says, Inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluh. There was takbir on that day. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Look at this, the enemy of Islam. Imagine George Bush walks into here and says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He probably won't do that because he is not Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. But if Allah wants, Allah can soften the people's hearts. So we say, Ya Allah, guide these people to Islam, soften their hearts to Islam. And Ya Allah, if you have not written guidance for them, then protect us from their evil in every and any way that you feel most fit. Allahu Akbar. You see? So we have balanced the dua. We have not just said, Ya Allah, destroy them. That person could be used for deen. They could be. And this is why it's important when you see something evil, the same tool of evil, if there is a possibility of using it for goodness, make a dua. I know when I visited Britain, and I visit on a regular basis, there was a time when some of the ulama there were saying, you know what, make dua, we want to buy this church. I say, you want to buy a church? They say, yes, we want to buy this church. Because as it is, the worshippers are dwindling, and there is an opportunity for us to buy the church. If we buy the church, we might be able to convert it into a masjid. So rather than making a dua, Ya Allah, destroy, destroy, Ya Allah, let us use that for the betterment of this deen. And believe me, a lot of the churches are being converted into masajid, not only in Great Britain, in a lot of the countries. And that is by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effort of the ulama of this ummah and other members of the ummah whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using. May He use all of us, inshallah. So it is important that we realize the heart needs to be straightforward. If this was the treatment of some of the non-Muslims, what about us within the Muslim ummah? Surely we should remove the element of jealousy. We must have a genuine feeling. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated with his companions and he asked a question. There are several narrations, I'm going to mention one, where he says, either he said that man is from Jannah, or do you want to see a man of Jannah? And he pointed at a certain man. And what had happened is, the Sahaba, some of them were very, very, meaning they wanted to know what is the quality that this person has, that has made this person be a person from Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that this person is from Jannah. So one of the Sahaba followed this man. And he noticed that this person, at a certain point after in the evening, he went to sleep. The light was off and gone, nothing. There was no extra acts of worship. Nothing more that this man did. So what was it? And later on he asked the Sahabi, he said, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this in your regard. What is the extra deed that you are engaging in that we do not engage in? We want to know it, so that we can also, inshallah, have a similar virtue. You know what he was told? This Sahabi said, there's nothing extra that I do. There's nothing. I don't even engage in much, in many of the extra voluntary deeds. I don't. Not too much. But there is one thing. Every night before I sleep, I check my heart. And I remove from it any ill feeling and hatred that may have crept in against any fellow Muslim. I take it out and I make sure I sleep with a clear crystal heart. That's the deed. Allahu Akbar. Are we ready to do that inshallah? Try it inshallah? We need to love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what will get us to Jannah. No one knows who is a wali min awliya'illah. No one knows. Wallahi, I have visited corners of Malawi where you see certain people who are poor, who the African people absolutely poor. In one corner they hardly have food to drink. But when you see their dedication to the deen, you can sit and cry and you can say, Ya Allah, this man might be that wali, min awliya'illah, because of him maybe you are granting us whatever you've granted us. There is a chance. Sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a chosen person in a community, He does not punish the community because of the presence of that wali. Doesn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning didn't he recite for us the verse? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ Allah will not punish the people whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in their midst, because there was a certain person in their midst. If you take a look at Lut alayhi salatu wa sallam, and you take a look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, when the angels came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he told them very, very clearly that how can you go and destroy that nation when Lut alayhi salam is still there? They said, نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِيهَا We know better than you who is there. We know better than you. لَنُنَجِّيَنَّهُ We will save him by the qudra of Allah, by the power of Allah. Lut alayhi salam and his family, or the members of his family whom Savior is written for, they will be all saved. So the same applies. We watch certain people, we don't know how close they are to Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And Allah says, Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu bil harbi. Whoever fights a friend of mine, a wali min awliya'illah, I have announced war against him, or war is announced against that person. Now imagine war being announced against me and you. So we need to be careful who we talk to and how we talk to them. Because signs of wilaya, we are so weak, we might not pick up these signs. Who is a friend of Allah? You know, sometimes someone comes and they say, you know, there is a lot of noor on this man's face. That statement sometimes is very deceiving, because we look at the complexion of the person. When he is fair in complexion, we say, oh, mashallah, they've got noor on their face. That is incorrect. A person can be as black as charcoal, but they can have lots of noor on their face. And then another thing, you know, when you have a diamond, me and you might look at it and it will look like a stone. Me and you will look at it, it will look like a stone. But it needs an expert to realize and recognize the diamond. The same applies. You need someone with noor to recognize someone else with noor. The layman might not always be able to pick it up accurately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. That's why sometimes we find old people or a person here or there, let's treat them correctly for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. If we harm them, we stand to lose. If we treat them correctly, we are in a win-win situation, no matter what. Now let me give you that example that I promised, where the hadith says, jealousy is like, meaning it eats your deeds, just like the fire eats away a log. Do you know how a fire eats away a log? And inshallah, I will end with this example. Beautiful example. Remember when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example, wallahi it fits 100% like a glove. There can be nothing wrong with the examples and the comparisons made by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never. If I give you a comparison, there can be a big error in it, big flaw in it. People might have to correct me also. But if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given that example, or it appears in the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot be wrong. Now look. Say I have a log. That log is being burnt. Say I put that log in the middle of this masjid. Now I'm being jealous whilst I'm sitting in the masjid. I'm jealous of this person and that person, either of their wealth or of anything. That is a log sitting in the masjid. Light the log. What happens to the log? The log begins to be eaten. But will that log go alone? If you put a log now in the masjid, and the log is eaten by fire. The hadith says it is eaten, the good deeds of a person are eaten in the same way that the fire eats away the log. If I put that log here, the log will go, the carpet is gone, definitely. The masjid is in flames. The musallis have run away, some of them might have died, some of them will suffer respiratory diseases. Agreed? When the masjid is burnt, absolutely the electricity explodes, everything happens, all the lights, all the extras, everything is gone. The houses next door are affected. Agreed? Huge losses are incurred because the fire people come here, there is great disrespect of the masjid, people run in with their boots and do this and do that, all because of one little log in the masjid. And if we stop there, the log can cause much more. You know, one cigarette can cause so much. We're talking of a whole log. Now, if that happened to be with us, ourselves, the jealousy, it eats away our good deeds. So the good deeds are gone, finished. That log is gone, it's out, right? But on top of that, the heart becomes black. Because now, we haven't controlled that feeling. Now we will be jealous once. That jealousy will lead to becoming jealous of everyone and anyone. Or they will all be your enemies. Because jealousy leads to hatred, which leads to enmity. Jealousy leads to hatred, definitely. And hatred leads to enmity. And enmity is a quality that when someone has it, for the wrong reasons, obviously they will not enter Jannah. So, if your heart becomes black, then what happens? The whole body needs resuscitation. The organs become affected. Like the masjid, we said the carpet goes, then everything else goes, the lights and the painting and everything goes. So the same way, the organs of the body are contaminated. When I touch, I'm touching with that jealous element. When I see with the jealous element. Everything is gone. My deeds are gone. My heart is gone. My hands are gone. When I'm at home, I speak to my friends and people. They are all contaminated and affected. Half of them are dead in the jealousy and the other half are suffering respiratory diseases in terms of jealousy. Because I've contaminated my wife and children, I've contaminated my family members, my community members, the masjid I go to, all the people I talk to, they're all affected by that same jealousy. Because I make statements which are derogatory. Jealousy leads to lies. Wallahi, it leads to lies. When you're jealous of someone, you've got to lie about them. You've got to spread rumor about them, and so on. So it's important that in order to protect ourselves, our hearts, our communities, our children, our masjid, our environment, we need to rectify that heart. أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةٌ إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. Definitely, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it loud and clear. There is an organ in the body, a little piece of flesh in the body. If it is pure and good, the whole body will be pure and good. If one body is pure and good and other bodies are pure and good, the community is pure and good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us Jannah. And if that little portion of the body, that little mudghah, that little piece of flesh is messed and dirty, the whole body is dirty. There's the example I gave you just now. If the heart is black, the hands are black, the eyes are black, the nose is black, the mouth is black, the tongue is messed and dirtied. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So it is very, very important. The message I have today for myself, firstly, is to cleanse my own heart, to try my best to think about what evil qualities I have in my heart. And we've started with mentioning jealousy, hatred, enmity, ill-feeling, deception, cheating, conniving. All these are qualities of the heart. We really need to look at these qualities, because if we want to be followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must have a genuine feeling for everyone, no matter who and what. You know, there is one small example that has crept to my mind. I might have given this example when I visited the university. There is a certain man known as Junaid Jamshed. He is in Pakistan. He was one of the biggest singers in Pakistan. He used to sing complete music in the discos and the nightclubs. And he says, don't ever underestimate anyone. No matter what you see them engaged in, make dua for them. Because what happened to him is, through good company, and alhamdulillah, he joined company of certain mashayikh. There is a sheikh known as Maulana Sa'ad, and there are a few ulama in India, in Pakistan, that he had joined. And he joined them for a while, and he'd seen through some of his colleagues. He knew some of the cricketers, some of the stars and so on, and he mixed with them, so people who turned to religion. And we should study these people's lives also. Obviously, it's more important to study the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but sometimes we need to look at those who have turned in our own era so that we can learn a lesson. Top people who turned. And we realize, who are we? If those people could turn, why can't we turn? I mean, that's a very cheap example, because it should be enough for us to look at the example of the Sahaba and all of those. But for us nowadays, cheap things become more important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a turning point. So he says, he used to sing and the people used to, he used to encourage zina, he used to encourage haram, he used to encourage everything from that same microphone. And when he used to come about, the naked women and everyone in front of him dancing and chanting, he had red carpet and he used to come about with bodyguards and he was the big thing and he's made lots of money through that. Everywhere you go in Pakistan, Junaid Jamshed, you ask about him, you used to get his CDs absolutely everywhere. And he used to sing national songs and all other forms of songs. So one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to soften his heart towards the deen. He heard a lecture, and he, as he has been sitting with some of the ulama and so on, and what had happened is, in the company of these good people, he decided, no, this is all a joke. What I'm engaged in, I'm only preparing for this dunya. What about my preparation for the akhirah? Let me go. Let me turn. He made a, he promised a vow to say, from this day on, no more music. Nothing. I'm not going to be singing in the discos and the nightclubs and so on. And it so happened that some days later, the Prime Minister of Pakistan phoned him and said, you know, we have a National Day celebration and you have to come and sing. But I've stopped singing. What are you talking about? I will see you there. Phone was down. That's it. The Prime Minister on one hand is coming to you. The other hand, you have newly made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, he was caught in a fix and a mess. He decided to do something. He said, look, I will go on condition that I will announce in public that I've made tawbah. I will go on condition that I will announce in public. He says when he arrived there, red carpet, cheering, everyone was there, mashallah. And he, before he sang that one national song that he sang, he said, he made an announcement to say, this is my last song, and after this, I have made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to prepare for my akhirah. And he made that announcement in public. And what had happened is, he says, the people were so upset, so hurt. That's a test from Allah. He said no one looked at him, no one acknowledged him. He had to catch a train to go back home that day. No one wanted to see him. Forget about red carpet, even the concrete. He had to walk through the back and he had to come out. And people really were so appalled. They thought and they said that he was the biggest letdown ever. Now this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I cried. And I cried, and he developed the courage to contact this alim that he was in connection with, he was in contact with. And he contacted, he says, you know what, this is what has happened. He says, look, don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors. You know, the ulama, those are the statements they make. May Allah really open the doors for us. So this man was crying, crying. And in the night he says, Ya Allah, you've given me such a voice, you've given me so much power, you've given me such a big following, you've given me so good, such goodness, such acceptance in the people, but for the wrong reasons. Ya Allah, are you going to take all that away? Ya Allah, are you going to take all that away from me? Now, what am I going to do from this day on? The only thing I know is to sing. The only thing I know is to, you know, how to, the mic, I have learnt it. I have learnt how to handle everything. I have gone for voice control lessons and absolutely everything. Ya Allah, are you going to take all that away from me? And he says, few days later, one of the ulama phoned him and says, Junaid, you know what? We are having a huge ijtima' and we'd like you to come and sing some nasheeds for us. Allahu Akbar. He says, you know, I could not believe it. Words that were written by other ulama. And he says, now Allah has chosen me to sing these words in praise of deen, in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in praise of Allah, in praise of all the goodness, calling people towards salah, calling people towards all the goodness. He says, I can't believe overnight that same microphone that I was using to call people towards zina, all along Allah converted it just through the tawbah. Overnight, he says, I was sitting there, the only people I see are the buzrugs of this deen, the pious people of this deen sitting in front of me, all of them crying tears when I'm singing the praises of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, I cried, and he says, the feeling I felt cannot be described to you. Cannot be described. How Allah converted. Today, you go to Pakistan, you will find his CDs of nasheeds, of Islamic songs, of naats, and all these things. Allahu Akbar. So he says, look, I was the one, there's not a sin that I've not committed. But he says, that is why don't lose hope. When you see someone in the nightclub, someone, a drunkard, a person who's totally out of line, make dua for them. He says, I know, I was there. That's what he's telling you. He says, and now, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used him. Some of the ulama have said that Allah has used him more than even some of the scholars of deen. Why? Because there's a different class of people that he will address. There's a different class of people that respected him. And they have, so many people have turned after him because they saw him who was their hero. When they saw their hero turning, automatically they thought to themselves, if this could turn him, we all need to turn. So they get to a different class of people. Like sometimes if you announce in this masjid that we are going to get a certain speaker to come, for example, a person who's known as being very harsh, sometimes you might get a small crowd of people. Sometimes you might get a small crowd of people. That person is very important because in this ummah, sometimes people say, no, you know, we need people who are lenient. I don't believe that we only need people who are lenient. We need across the board. Sometimes you need hard people who are reminding you. Sometimes you need people who can label others, meaning, you know, within limits of Islam. Sometimes you need people who make you feel like you are a rotten person. And then other times, you need people also who can balance it and tell you, no, there's hope in the mercy of Allah. We need the balance as human beings. We can't only have people who give us hope every single time. Sometimes you need someone who can pick you with a stick and give you a little whacking to remind you that this is the path. That is the balance. So we need all these type of people in deen. We need those who remind us in this way, in the other way, in that way. Those who might be slightly softer. We need those who might have been in the nightclubs in the past who have turned so that they can come and talk to you with their own experiences. And they will address those who are presently in the nightclubs. And that is who they will attract. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He use us to spread this deen. Always make dua for people. Don't hate someone. Like we are taught, those who are engaged in a sin, you hate the sin, but you love the person because you want their hidayah. We separate the two. Like the kuffar, we hate the kufr in them, but we still want them to accept this deen. We still want them to come towards the religion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hate them wholesale. Yes, there was a certain point when he was being fought, he had to retaliate, he had to fight back. But he always made a dua. He always made a dua. Ali radiallahu anhu was being sent in Khaybar. He was being sent now to cross the point. And still Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and said, Ya Ali, O Ali radiallahu anhu, Wallahi la an yahdi Allahu bika rajulan wahidan khayrul laka min humuril na'am. You are going, you are crossing. You are going in a war zone. People will want to kill you. You will want to kill them. But you should know one thing. Still, if Allah guides through you, even one of them, it's better for you than anything this dunya can hold in terms of the most valuable of material items in the dunya. So we must know that. May Allah soften our hearts. And at least today, if we can check our hearts for the rest of the days of Ramadan, and we can try and remove the bad qualities of the heart, become people who are loving, we will be living in a beautiful society, beautiful community, each one helping the other. And remember, there is always room for improvement until the day we die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا ولما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا ليجزي الله الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين إن شاء أو يتوب عليهم إن الله كان غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم
اللهم صل على نبينا محمد وعلى آل نبينا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر يا الله we thank you for everything you have given us. You are the most great, يا الله. You are the owner of entire creation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are the controller of absolutely everything, Ya Allah. We have full trust in you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we lay all our affairs in your hands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to bless us, Ya Allah. We thank you for absolutely everything, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, no matter how many words we utter in your praise or what deeds we engage in, even if we remain in sujood our entire lives, Ya Allah, we will not be able to do justice to your status, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask your forgiveness, Ya Allah. These blessed days of Ramadan, the biggest thing we need from you is forgiveness, Ya Allah. Forgive us all, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, soften our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've heard words from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. We have spoken about words that he had uttered, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept those words from us, Ya Allah. Soften our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove hatred from our hearts. Remove jealousy from our hearts, Ya Allah. Save us from enmity, Ya Allah. Unite this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring us together, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us love one another, Ya Allah. Let us assist one another and help one another in goodness, Ya Allah. Let us remind one another of what is right and wrong, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to develop ourselves and our spirituality, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring us closer and closer to you, Ya Allah. As we grow older, bring us closer to you, Ya Allah. Every day, grant us improvement spiritually, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in such a way that the day you take us away, we would be the closest we ever were to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our best days our last days, Ya Allah. Make our best deeds our final deeds, Ya Allah. And grant us shahada, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on our tongues, Ya Allah, as you are taking us away, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us jannah through the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to bless this ummah at large, Ya Allah. Protect the ummah, Ya Allah. There are people who have been driven out of their houses and homes and properties solely because they believe in you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect them, Ya Allah. You know where they are. You know the suffering that they are going through, Ya Allah, and protect us all, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, safeguard the ulama of this ummah, Ya Allah. Wherever they may be, Ya Allah, safeguard the ulama of this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect them, Ya Allah. Safeguard them from all calamity and all difficulty, Ya Allah. And use them to spread this deen, Ya Allah. And use us all to spread this deen in one way or another, Ya Allah. Make us good examples in our own houses, Ya Allah. To our family members, our community members, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, increase the love and muhabbat that you have put in our hearts for one another, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we ask you to safeguard us from jealousy and from jealous people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the enemies of Islam, soften their hearts and bring them towards this deen, Ya Allah. And if you have not written for them guidance, Ya Allah, protect us from their evil and their plots in every and any way you feel, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have full trust in you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, guide us at all times, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ill, cure them, Ya Allah. All those who are sick and ill, Ya Allah, grant them shifa, kamil ajil, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who have passed away, have mercy on them. The marhumin who passed away during this blessed month, have mercy on them. And those of the ummah who passed on before, Ya Allah, have mercy on them, Ya Allah. Those followers of the previous anbiya, Ya Allah, have mercy on them also, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to join us with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the akhirah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you all the goodness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked you, and we seek protection from all the evil that he has sought protection from. Antal musta'an, alayka al-balagh, wa la hawla ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا في هذا الشهر المبارك اللهم اجعلنا من المقبولين عندك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.